Yep, that's right. So that's the point I wanted to make is I actually worked with a client this week who said they didn't know what kind of cookies they had and they had signed the agreement. So it's not uncommon and it's a entirely different ecosystem than what most people are used to dealing with. So that's kind of how I wanted to frame this conversation and get started by talking about what started all of this cookie commotion. And so early in 2020, Google announced that it was going to discontinue its use of the third-party cookie before 2022. And just a couple of months ago in March, on March 3rd of 2021, it also stated that it won't use any automated method to track users online once it ends support for the third-party cookie in Chrome and said it disapproves of using email as an alternative tracking identifier. So this plan to phase out the third-party cookie is part of a larger strategy of creating a privacy sandbox, which aims to protect our online privacy by getting new methods of tracking going on. And while this is all going on, we need to look at what the current state is. So for years, cookies were considered anonymous, not generally identifiable, but now it's considered personally identifiable information under the newly enacted privacy laws. And we're going to talk about those right now. Cynthia, would you like to talk about how the GDPR has impacted the cookie industry?
Yeah, so and this is what I guess GDPR, it's sort of the anniversary of when GDPR went into effect, right, this week. It's been 3 years now. I can't even, time flies, right?
Yes. When you're having fun. Yes.
So GDPR, and this is there are multiple layers, right, to what GDPR was really getting at, right? And obviously GDPR really, you know, codified for the first time in a sort of, larger regulatory framework, the idea that your rights to your personal information, right, is a human right, right? And so in line with that is the notion that a couple of things. One, the definition of personal data was greatly expanded beyond what most, what most regulations, certainly in the U.S. at the time, had defined as personal data. And so included in that definition of personal data is your IP address and behavioral information, right? So we start to get right into the meat of the matter, which is that your personal information, your personal data under GDPR is not limited to your name, address, and phone number. It is anything that can be eventually implicated or, you know, sort of inferred about you based on behavior and different, right? Which gets right into the, you know, why people use cookies. And so the GDPR was very specific and sets up this notion that any tracking, any browser tracking, which is the way most cookies are done, right, is through the browser, you have to have consent from the individual. And so the consent, and consent is a tricky topic under GDPR. I mean, if you remember, you know, Google was really the first company to be fined. It was the largest fine, right? And a lot of that hinged on consent. So consent is that's for a topic for another discussion, but consent is a large, I would say, problem, frankly, whether that consent is actually specific and informed. So under GDPR, that's why you see all these cookie banners, right? That the cookie banner pops up and they're ostensibly getting your consent to place those cookies, right? And to track you. You are technically allowed to revoke consent, right? Which is where it gets a little complicated if the one who's tracking you is actually not the party that you're interacting with, right? It's not the website itself that you're interacting with. So, but anyway, so that's sort of the setup from the GDPR perspective?